Chamber Project St. Louis continues its ninth season with a theme exploring the idea of home as it relates to our city, the nation, and the world. Steve Potter has more about the group's mission to break down perceived barriers to classical music.
The season continues with two performances of Essence at two different locations. Adam Manis from the group The 442s has a new work, The Del Mar Wall, which will be part of the concert. We welcome him and the Chamber Project's co-artistic director, Dana Hodel. Welcome to you both. Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks.
Adam, I don't want to get too specific about this yet. We'll talk a little bit about it later. But this piece of yours addresses, or at least is inspired by, some social issues that are in a lot of people's minds right now. But generally speaking, isn't that an unusual way, an unusual place for you for inspiration?
Yes and no. I was asked by Chamber Project to write something that means something to me about St. Louis. And I just don't know how I couldn't write about the issues, that social issues that we're facing here in our community. They're by far the most defining aspects of our community in the 21st century, besides maybe, you know, the Cardinals being so dominant. But is that as important? No. So, yeah, I had to write about this.
And when you say the Del Mar Wall, you're referring to what a lot of us, a term we've heard for years and years, the Del Mar Divide.
Yeah, and I'm not even really, it's not really even specifically about that, although that term, I knew it would invoke that thought. It's mm-hmm. more of a, you know, it's a broader thing of the mental divide that we seem to have in St. Louis between these two cultures.
All right, we'll pick up on that later.
Yeah.
Dana, Essence, this is Chamber Project's second offering this season.
Mm-hmm.
So explain how you try to make every concert sort of unique.
So what we do is we present mixed chamber music throughout the year. We do six or seven concerts. So every concert's a different group of musicians, a different group of instruments on stage, and it has a different theme. The theme this time is Essence, and it's really exploring what it is that composers put forth in their music that is home to them or evokes home to them. And so we have some of the great European composers, Dvorak and Brahms and Bartok, the great musicologist, on this program. We always like to mix up our concerts a lot and place new music and old music right next to each other. We think it exposes beautiful things about both types of music. And so we love the work Adam's doing here in St. Louis, and we wanted him to write for us, and we were so grateful that he agreed and wrote this really great piece for us.
Now, sometimes your venues are unusual too, not always.
Yes, they are. That's part of our mission, is to really take chamber music into places people already are. Chamber music is all about community and getting to know each other. And so we find these great venues where you can have a glass of wine or a beer or a cup of coffee and meet some people and learn a little bit about the music and enjoy this great concert. And we, with the themes, it really gives context to new listeners or people who aren't familiar with classical music. Like, we are here for you. We want you to come and hear what we do. And we very intentionally set the tone so that it's really inviting to all kinds of people to come to our concerts.
And Adam, that sounds like a little philosophy that you have with the 442s as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've been to a few Chamber Project St. Louis concerts before they even asked me to write something, because I'm just a fan of their mission and what they do and their music, the music they present. It's always presented at an interesting place in an interesting way with an interesting program by interesting players.
Thank you.
They are a shining example of the sort of growing arts scene that we have here in St. Louis, and especially with art music. And I'm just happy to be a part of this one.
Dana, just for an example to give us an idea of the variety, you had your first concert not too long ago, last mm-hmm. month. So just give us a brief little description of that and how different that whole presentation
sure.
was than this one.
That was a pretty big concert for us. We were at the 560 Music Center on Washington University campus, which they are turning the 560 Center into this incredible place for arts, musical arts in our community. They've got incredible amount of stuff going on there. And they asked us to come in, and we did pretty large scale pieces with 6 to 13 musicians on the stage. And we'll be back there actually in March doing another program at the 560. And then this concert's really different. It involves only five musicians, a string quartet and clarinet. And it's in really intimate, smaller venues. So Crave Coffee House, we think, is this gem of a place adjacent to the newer SLU campus, the medical campus. And the doors open right onto the green space. It's an old church that's been converted to a multi-purpose space. And so the acoustics are great. And then on Tuesday, we take it to an even smaller venue, the Vino Gallery, which is a wine bar in the Central West End. And that's like 40 people feels really great in that room. And you can get so close to the musicians. And there's nowhere in our venues, they're not concert halls. So there's no backstage. The musicians walk off stage right into the audience at intermission and after the concert. So there's this very natural flow between what's happening on stage and what's happening in the audience and the connections we can make.
And Adam, how does that affect you as an artist, you know, where you're playing and, you know, the surroundings and all that?
Well, I mean, I thought about that as I was writing. And there's actually some stage direction in the piece for the musicians. I knew the venues that had already been booked, so I kind of investigated the spaces a little bit and came up with something I think is going to be interesting as an overall experience in those spaces, not just as a music
performance. Yeah, I heard something that the beginning of your piece might start a little unconventionally as far as the way it's set up.
Yeah, so the Del Mar Wall is written for clarinet, violin, viola, cello, and it starts out with just the cellist on stage, and the other three musicians are directed to be in a cluster somewhere out of sight from the audience, but where the audience could hear them. I mean, the whole premise of the piece is sort of bringing people together over the wall and the wall in quotes. And so the cellist plays what will be the theme and eventually brings musicians.
So you're tearing down the wall, not building one, right?
That's right.
I am all about not building walls.
Not building walls. Yeah, and it's wonderful. I love this piece, and as we've been rehearsing it and I've been thinking about it, what I love is it really is a conversation, I think. And it sort of, the way I look at it is how do we overcome these cultural divides in our community that can be so damaging? And this kind of approaches it in a day-to-day way, like what can we do every day? And it's just about talking and listening to people. And I think the way Adam has staged it and the way the music is put together, like it really inspires me that way, that this conversation between the musicians is very much what we can do every day to help our community grow.
I'm glad you brought up conversation because, Adam, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, you were part of an open rehearsal, which is something that Chamber Project does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think audience comes and you have conversations. So I'm so curious how that went.
It was very cool. I'd never really done anything quite like that. We did it at the Dark Room, which is I host every Tuesday night at the Dark Room, a sort of composer's forum.
You do?
I do.
And by the way, that's just right by the Fox.
That's right here in Grand Center by the Fox Theater. And Chamber Project came and we did a whole open rehearsal of the piece. We played it three or four times?
I don't remember.
We staged it a couple times, but we also just sort of rehearsed the music on stage. And we had a lot of great comments and questions.
Tell me how that works when you set up. Do people ask a question whenever they want to? Is there a specific time for questions?
Yeah. So just between each run-through, Dana would turn to the audience and say, does anybody have any questions about what we're doing or want to ask Adam anything? And I was busy sort of, you know, it was honestly the first time through was a little jarring when we stopped and everybody was there because I was like, there was so much we needed to fix.
Right.
That I felt like.
Right. Because we hadn't rehearsed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally the first time it's done, which is really quite terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Actually.
Once I got over the panic of that everybody just heard this.
Right.
But I think everybody that goes there kind of knows that going in. And they were very sweet. And by the end, we really had something.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you remember about that night as far as what the questions were? Anything stick in your mind?
There were a lot of specific little musical questions. I think they're real musician fans and musicians that come to these things.
We had some audience suggestions on some of the staging, like what they thought we could do differently or just a commenting on that aspect of
what
the
piece.
What would
visually look better.
Right. Yeah. And so that was really interesting. Yeah. And the timing, some of the timing that is involved with the staging.
Yeah, they really sort of helped mold the way we're going to time some of the staging. Which
yeah, we got a lot of comments about how soulful the piece was, which mm-hmm. was really nice because we're all wrapped up in the technicalities of like getting from here to there and how should this go together and all of this stuff. And then
the first
people
time
were like, we got
never.
Chills, you know? I'm like, oh, that's great. That was the first rehearsal and you're already getting chills. So that's a good thing.
Well, Adam, how did that affect you as a composer? Did you change anything? Did it affect the way you felt about your work?
I didn't change any, you know, notes or themes or anything like that. But like Dana said, we did take some you know, we kind of said, did you like this better or this better? And as far as like staging and timing, and we did change some of that stuff. And then there were even some people that had ideas about like what to put, you know, to put what passages on which string of the viola.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Laura notated that, but there was some really specific like good musical input.
Yeah, there was. It was interesting.
We're talking to Dana Hodel and also Adam Manis about the upcoming Chamber Project concert. Well, let's talk more specifically about Adam's piece, The Delmar Wall. You said it doesn't exactly pertain to the Delmar Divide, but thematically, in some ways, it does. So where did this inspiration – I know you grew up here. Where did the inspiration – what moved you to do this?
Well, just being a citizen of St. Louis moved me to do this, and it's on my mind every day, as I assume it is a lot of people that live here. And I just really wanted to – I've been asked to do a few things like this. I got asked – a month after Michael Brown was killed, I got commissioned by Brian Owens to play a piece in Ferguson with 20 members of the St. Louis Symphony, a string orchestra that I wrote a piece very fast for that. And just like that, with this, I didn't really want to be heavy-handed with a commentary. I really just wanted to hold up a mirror of the situation, because oftentimes, and it's the advantage that we have as musicians, is we don't have to say everything, and people will put their own history to that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really wanted to try to do with this issue. For me, I used the Delmar Wall as the title. I mean, there is like a literal wall in the piece, but it's really not about that street as much as about the attitudes that we have towards one another in this discussion.
And I guess I probably should put a little backstory for maybe someone that doesn't understand. For years, people have used that example of Delmar's defining the sort of the haves and have-nots.
It is. It is cartoonishly, in parts of between basically U-City and downtown, it is cartoonishly divided between rich and poor, mostly black and white.
All right. Well, without film images and the spoken word or something, how do you tell this story using instruments?
Well, it's, as I said before, the staging kind of helps with this idea. There's one person on stage who is speaking and musically very rationally, and there are three people off stage who are mocking almost and booing until they sort of come together with the beauty of the theme, and one by one sort of make their way to an agreement. There's even a bit of staging, and I don't want to ruin the whole thing, where there's sort of an acknowledgement of each other's of that movement from one side to the other. And it's not at all about these like little, not little, but these minute details or issues. It's about the overall theme of the piece is about this basic human decency that I think we could use a little more of during these discussions.
Describe Adam's piece to me in your words.
It's very original. It's very creative. What I love about Adam's music as a classical musician is he has, you know, Adam's not classically trained. That's not his path.
No, mostly jazz, right?
Mostly jazz. And so I've had the pleasure of hearing and performing some of his classical pieces that he's writing for classical ensembles anyway. And what I hear in them and what I hear in this piece is he's not at all tied down to the burden of the history of classical music. So there's this, but he's really respectful of it and learning from it. So there's this really fresh energy in his music. And he's taking all of his knowledge from jazz and putting it very authentically into this new genre, newer to him, I guess I can say that's okay. And it's just, it's really refreshing. It's very soulful. There's definitely a lot of authenticity and originality in his ideas, and it's very tuneful when it should be.
I guess tunes, I should say.
You know, and yet he's experimenting with all these other ideas in the music, and it's really refreshing.
One thing I want to ask you about, Adam, quickly, the 442s, you recently did an interesting project in Forest Park, and you may be recreating it here at the Public Media Commons?
Well, we would love to. We've been talking about it. We just did, we were so honored to be one of the first artists in residence at Forest Park this summer. We did this project in June where we had a piano donated to us by Jackson Pianos in the Central West End. We painted it these bright colors. We put it in 10 different spots in the park with different member of the 442s with it. We recorded footage of anybody passing by that wanted to play it. And then I took that footage, lots and lots of hours of footage, and I edited it into three separate video pieces that I then wrote an additional layer of music for us to perform with. And we just had our culminating concert of that last Thursday at the Forest Park Visitor Center, and it was really an amazing experience. It seemed to be well-received, And yeah, we would love to do it outside here in the Public Media Commons.
That'd be great.
Hint, hint.
That'd be great. Yeah. I'll see what I can do to help you.
Yeah, you know people, right?
One or two. You're also working on a Christmas album.
Yeah, I'm working on a Christmas album. Just got the masters back yesterday from Capitol Records. And it's with the 442s, Christmas, and Peter Martin. And it features all sorts of local St. Louis luminaries. Aaron Bodie, Brian Owens, Jeremy Davenport came in from New Orleans. He's great. A St. Louis native.
Yep.
Recorded some two beautiful tracks. Montez Coleman, one of the best drummers in the world who happens to live here, is on it. And we're thrilled with it. We can't wait to release it.
Well, as far as the chamber project, then, Dana, next month, stylistically, thematically?
Something completely different.
That's where I was going.
Yep. So this month, it's string quartet and clarinet. Next month, it's harp, flute, clarinet, strings, and we are playing at a new space, 1900 Creative Space in Lafayette Square. And then we're also doing this really cool thing. And Adam, I think you've done this. We're playing at the Gaslight Studios. So It's an open live recording session. They built a studio and there's a glass wall instead of a regular wall that is open to the bar. And then they pipe the recording that's happening in. And so Chamber Project, we have not ever recorded in a studio, so we are once again putting ourselves right out there.
I think you're going to like it. We loved it because you can actually hear yourself so well in that little studio.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's nice.
It looks nice. So that's happening November 16th, and we're actually going to record Adam's piece. He doesn't know that. Surprise.
Oh,
awesome. We're going to record his piece, and then we'll also record the night music program that we would have just performed a few days earlier. And then, you know, we have more concerts coming up in 2017, each very, very different from the other.
Well, Adam, then, as far as the Del Mar Wall, your work, I get the sense sort of that working on this and then the two performances coming up is going to be somewhat of a milestone for you.
It's very special. There's no doubt about it. You know, as we were just talking about, I grew up playing jazz. And, you know, if you're a fan and you study that music, you're aware of these issues, hopefully early on, as you discover the musicians who champion such causes. And so contributing in this ever so small way with this great organization, these great musicians, means a lot to me.
That was composer Adam Manis and Chamber Project St. Louis co-artistic director Dana Hodel speaking with Steve Potter. The organization's next concert, featuring the world premiere of Manis' The Del Mar Wall, will be presented Friday evening at 7 at Crave Coffee House, and again on Tuesday, October 11th, at the Vino Gallery. You can find more details at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.